West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 2, Message 2. Interceding in twos or threes and persevering in prayer. Scripture reading, Matthew 18:18-20, and Colossians 4:2-3.
Hallelujah! Okay, let's turn to the section in our binder, the Gospel on the campus. We're going to begin with the second outline rather than the first because of a schedule change. But we will get to the first outline later in the week. But for now, we're going to begin with morning session 2, message 2. Gospel on campus. Now, I'd like to begin by asking you all a question. Okay? Don't look at your outline, just look at me. What would you say is the primary way that we can cooperate with our Father? What do you think? Yeah, by prayer, that's right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good. Now, this week we are going to be practicing getting into twos and threes. Many of you have been to the college training before, and you know that we've done this in the past. And we like to begin this fellowship for those of you who have not done this before to understand why we do this. It's because there is a special kind of prayer in the Scriptures that's called the prayer of two or three, where two or three are gathered into my name. This is the kind of relationship and prayer life that can be built up among a small group of saints that cannot exist in a large group, in a large church life. The twos and threes are a small group who form a relationship that transcends their natural man, their culture, their disposition. They might be totally not like each other. But the fact of the matter is, according to the inner man, we are quite similar. You know, Daniel is not unique, the Daniel we spoke of in the last message. Actually, every one of you has an excellent spirit.
Amen.
Once I discovered that I had an excellent spirit, it changed my whole life.
Amen.
Once I realized that God's ordination was not that my soul would direct my whole being, I was a lot happier. I didn't have to be moody anymore. I was so happy to learn that my spirit is supposed to control my entire being. And this allows us to be related to every member in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we are going to practice the prayer in the twos and threes with this view. We can be related to one another if we get into the Spirit. And not only that, but we get the life in our spirit out of us. In the twos and threes this week, we're going to learn how to let the Lord get out of our spirit, not to keep Him as a prisoner in our spirit. So you might not know the person that you get grouped with or the persons you get grouped with, but just remember this. The life inside of you is compatible and attractive. You have the most attractive person in the universe in your spirit.
Amen.
And your companions like that person. So if he comes out, everything will be sweet and harmonious. Okay, that's on our side. On God's side, we're getting into the practice of the twos and threes because He absolutely needs us to. You'll see in the Gospels, take John for example, there is speaking on prayer. And every time prayer is spoken of, the number praying is not a condition. You know, the Lord says, in that day you will ask the Father in my name and he will give to you. The condition is not, condition of a number of people praying is not a condition. But in Matthew 18, the number is a condition. There has to be at least two. And that's because this kind of prayer is binding and releasing prayer. For this to happen, there has to be at least two. Because two is the principle of the body. Two is the principle of the church. And in this training, we are going to be considering Timothy as a man of God. And when I say two and three is the prayer of the church, brothers and sisters, that means you. This is not the prayer of older saints, not the prayer of the elders, not the prayer of the serving ones. This is your prayer. The binding and loosing prayer for the sake of man's salvation is your prayer. Who else is going to pray for the people around you? Who even knows the people around you? And this is not for your sake. Actually, God needs you and I to get into the prayer of the twos and threes. Because there's a principle regarding this kind of prayer. And the principle is that the earth controls the heavens. Really so. See, we're going to be practicing this week. That's just what we're doing, practicing. But this is something that God has to have us doing where we live with the people who are around us. Because the principle is the earth controls the heavens. Okay, we're familiar with this verse, Ezekiel 36:37. It says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Well, God wants to increase us, but He will not do it until He's inquired of. Okay, saints, God has things stacked up in the heavens that He wants to do at your campus, in your workplace, in your family. God has things stacked up that He intends to do. He wants to do them. The problem is there's no outlet on the earth because God has limited Himself in time to man's free will. So actually, in this fellowship of the prayer of the twos and threes, we are talking about functioning according to the highest function of the church, which is to be the outlet of God's will on the earth. And we hope that none of us would think that's for someone else. The Lord gathered us and brought us here to hear this. You and I, we young ones, we are the church. We absolutely are. See, when you get regenerated, you have the innate ability to pray. You do. But actually, prayer is a skill. It's like, it's repetitious, just like everything else we learn to do, everything we have to practice. And if we don't practice it correctly, we might learn errors. You know, I have a problem with the memory verses. A lot of times I put the wrong preposition in there. And if I do it enough times, it's really hard to forget it. Well, thankfully, we're all quite young. We don't have a lot of practice. But this week, we're going to practice the prayer of twos and threes to learn how to pray prayers that will move God.
Amen.
Those kind of prayers are the prayers that are in harmony on earth. How can we be in harmony together? You see, being in harmony, according to the Lord's Word, it doesn't mean praying for the same things. It doesn't even mean praying with the same words. It means praying from the same source.
Amen.
That's where the harmony comes from. And harmony is produced in an even stronger way through the blending. And how can we be blended? Have you ever wondered what blending is? Who here has ever been to a blending meeting or a blending conference? Did you get blended? How do you know? Do you know what blending is? I have wondered this. I found a definition, though. You see, there's some ministry. It says that If we pray and we're not released, if our spirit is not released, our prayer is wrong. But if we pray and we're released, our spirit gets released, we become released persons. And if we get together in twos and threes, and I'm released, and you're released, that's the blending. Actually, that prayer is blending. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we're going to get into twos and threes this week, to practice this. Okay, so let's look at the outline in a little more detail. Roman numeral 1 says, in order to preach the gospel and bear fruit, we first need to intercede in twos or threes, bringing people to the Lord with binding and releasing prayers. I like to consider Matthew 12:29. It says, how can anyone enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and he will thoroughly plunder his house? He will thoroughly plunder his house. Now, I don't know if you have the aspiration to become a man of prayer, but at a certain point in my life, when I was about 23, this aspiration was put into me by an older brother. And all I could do is go to the Lord. I realized my relationship with the brothers that I have is almost entirely natural. We can't pray together. But I have a desire to be a man of prayer, just like you were, Lord Jesus. And so I don't know if we all have this aspiration, but considering this verse, Matthew 12:29, it helps me to aspire to be a man of prayer because of this word here. His goods. If anyone wants to enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods. Who is the strong man in this verse? Say it louder.
Satan.
That's right, this is Satan. Who are his goods? The unbelievers, that's right. But actually, Jesus spoke this word. Jesus spoke it, it's very deliberate. In English, we say his goods. But really, this word means his instruments, his apparatus, his stuff. Okay? The unbelievers, they are Satan's stuff. They're his instruments to be used by him. They're his vessels, and they're kept for his use. Now, no unbelieving person thinks that they're an instrument of Satan. They just don't. If they did, they wouldn't remain unbelieving. That's because the God of this age has blinded their thoughts. And saints, our Savior God desires that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But He can't do it unless we pray, because the earth controls the heavens. It says, whatever you bind or loose on earth shall have been bound or loosed in the heavens. Earth first. Saints, and don't think this doesn't mean you. The wonderful thing about prayer is God needs you to pray, so as big a failure as you are, you can still do it because He absolutely needs you to. You just have a quick turn, you apply the blood, and you release that excellent spirit. And you will see it doesn't matter who you are, what you've achieved. It doesn't matter. God needs you as His outlet on the earth, in the twos and threes. Because your friends, your family members, your classmates, your co-workers who remain unbelieving, they're Satan's stuff. They're not sitting on the shelf. They're actively being used by Him for His purpose. Do you know what His purpose is? It's to corrupt the creature that God created for His use. For man to be running after other things in this world and not pursuing God is corruption. We get filled with other things. We get ruined. The vessel gets damaged. Because every unbelieving person is Satan's instrument. But they don't think that they are. But they're around us. I'll just give you an example. I have a neighbor directly behind me. She's 70 years old. She grew up in Christianity. She is an atheist. She believes in evolution. She doesn't believe there's a creator. She lives by me. And I look at her. She doesn't think she's in Satan's house, Satan's instrument. But the fact is, she is. Now, the problem here is with what she thinks. You know, every man or every woman is close to salvation. The fulcrum, the turning point is in here. It's with the way we think. When the Lord Jesus began His ministry, He began with this word, repent. Repent. Repent for the kingdom. To repent means to have a change in the way you think. It means to have a turn with regret. And involved in that turn is a turn of purpose. Okay? But we can't do this on our own. Your friends, your family members, your classmates, they cannot do it for themselves. And you never could. You couldn't have done it. That's what makes us debtors of the gospel. At one time in your life, even if you were young, you were Satan's stuff in his house for his purpose, illegally usurped but possessed by him. And someone prayed for you. That's why you got saved. And they didn't pray a begging prayer. They prayed a loosing prayer. Okay? Every person is close to salvation. They just need to change the way they think. They need to think, I need God. I need more. They need to think, what is the purpose of my life? They need to think differently. But thankfully, in Acts chapter 5, there's this man named Jesus. He's been appointed as our leader and Savior to give repentance. He's got stacks of repentance he wants to give out to the people around you. But he needs you to pray. Hallelujah. So I don't know if there's the aspiration to be a man of prayer. But there ought to be. Even if you're an incoming freshman, you're young, you don't feel like you have very much spiritual attainment, or you're a senior and you've been living really mostly in the world, or wherever you are, or wherever you think you are, if you think you're spiritual and you're really not, it doesn't matter. The Lord needs the earth to control the heavens. He wants us to command Him concerning His sons, concerning the work of His hands. That's what He wants. It doesn't depend on you. That's why we're going to practice this week. Okay? So to intercede is to approach God in a personal and confiding manner, to intervene, to interfere before God and others' affairs for their benefit. I would like to recommend to you the Life Study of Genesis, message 51. This would be good for your time back home with your companions. You'll see a glorious intercession portrayed. Again, this is our primary cooperation with our Father God. Amen. You know, we all want to advance in the growth in life. We do. We all want to. Yeah. And we ought to have personal prayers for our edification. We should. But I want to tell you, where I come from, where I am, where I live, there's a sister, a college-age sister just like you all, and she's not here. She has entered into this kind of prayer with a companion where she's just decided that she's going to stand on God's side. She's going to do it. And her progress has become manifest. We want to grow in life sometimes just for ourselves, but God has a need. If we begin to take care of His need, our progress becomes manifest. So the kind of prayer we're talking about here is not fragmentary. It's not temporary, but it's in the nature of a work. It's in the nature of a ministry. See, we all of us believers, we've been hired by the triune God to be the outlet for His will on the earth. We have to ask ourselves whether or not we're doing our job. We're doing a lot of things with our time, but He doesn't have anyone else but us. But if we cooperate, He can move and save people around us. Or what about our dear brothers and sisters? They're already saved, but they're cold. They're not here. Who's going to pray for them? Not in a fragmentary way, not when you think of them or you feel inspired. But I'd like to give you three practical words, okay? And they are, when, that's the first one. Who is the second one, and how is the third one. So this is concerning the prayer of the twos and threes. When, first, when, at a scheduled time. If you want to get good at anything, you have to do it according to a schedule, just like the Olympic water polo player. It's time for practice. This sister where I come from, she keeps the time with her partner. And she's just progressing. So when is regularly and according to a schedule. Now the second thing is who. We said it already. At least two. You should keep your personal prayer time. But the prayer of the twos and threes, God needs. The third one, how? That's in harmony. In harmony. So on this point, I like to recommend to you two hymns in our hymnal. And I hope you'll use them this week when you get into your twos and threes. The first one is 785. The second one is 786, which we just sang. But there are many other good hymns on prayer in our hymnal that you can look into. I just recommend those two. In harmony. If you touch this harmony, you'll be sold. We won't need to talk about this anymore. This harmony is awesome. It's just awesome. Because there's a Christ in the heavens today. Okay? And there's a Christ in our spirit today. Are there two Christs? Are you sure? Because you didn't sound like you were sure. There are not. You see, when the Lord was on the earth, He had a heavenly ministry. He went from place to place, and His physical body took Him there. It was always responsive to Him. It just responded to Him. When He wanted to touch someone to heal him, it responded. When He wanted to spit and mix it with the clay, His body responded. Well, He was very busy in His earthly ministry, but how much more busy is He in His heavenly ministry? Administrating the entire world situation so that man could be saved. He's super busy. But is His heavenly body as responsive as His physical body was? Maybe. Maybe not. So our burden is that when you have these times together in twos and threes, don't pray based on anything except the Lord's heavenly ministry. And I confess, that's not that easy to do. I'm not that good at it. But you see, when we come together to pray, we can pray based on many things. We can pray based on the outward environment. We can pray based on the need. But how do we know that's what we should pray? Every one of you has the ability to hear the Spirit. Okay, repeat after me. I have the ability to hear the Spirit.
I have the ability to hear the Spirit.
This is how we pray in harmony. Okay? No. You don't have to repeat that. Okay? Let's see. Here are a couple practical points. It's B1 and 2. I'm almost done. When we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There's no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, and expound the Scriptures to the Lord. Now just think about it. The Lord is not in your spirit teaching Himself. He's not expounding the Scriptures to Himself. He already knows everything about the Scriptures. So don't pray like that. That's natural. You just got to tell Him what you want because it's what He wants. So remember, I said prayer is a skill. You have to learn to listen. A lot of times He'll be very short and very accurate. And when you hit that burden, it will be in your companions. And it will come out, the burden will be prayed and released, and you'll all be light, and you'll realize that's what prayer is. That's the prayer of the twos and threes. And number two, we do not need to pray too long. Instead, we should simply mention those for whom we are burdened. in a definite way, name by name. Okay? To have a name list is good. Don't have a name list of 100 people. Be practical. Okay? When you go name by name, remember that point. Genuine prayer is released prayer. If you're not released, that's wrong. You come to a name with your companions. Come to that name. You come to Cephas. You just say, Cephas! Oh, Lord, Cephas! The Lord might come in to help you, to intercede for you with groanings. And whatever was stacked up in the heavens concerning Cephas, it got executed on the earth. It's how to pray with a name list. You don't have to say in detail about their situation. You need to touch that name with your spirit. This is practical. It's doable. It's sustainable. It works. Okay? In the twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. That's what we spoke to from Matthew 12:29. And then we should not give up on anyone. Everybody's close to salvation if they can have a change in their thought. And you can bind the one who's binding their thoughts and loose the repentance. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers, touching the heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. Okay, I'd like to make two more recommendations for your reading and for you to learn how to do this. They're short booklets. You can take them when you get back with your companions. The first one is called The Key to Prayer. You see, every believer can pray, but whether or not our prayer moves God is another matter. And don't think because you're 18 or you're 19 you can't move God. Daniel was a young man.
Amen.
And his prayer turned the age. The second one is Burden and Prayer. Both short booklets, both very helpful. If you get into these at a young age like you are now, you can become men of prayer, skilled in prayer, ones whom God listens to. Really so. Hallelujah.
How about we read point 1b together again? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't this so good? To even just to realize that our God needs us.
Amen.
He needs our cooperation. He has a need on this earth, and this prayer is not just for ourselves, for our own spiritual progress, but He has a need for us to pray.
Amen.
He's binding and loosing prayers, and we are the right ones to pray this.
Amen.
I just really enjoyed our brother Phil speaking, and I think we all need to be deeply impressed with this, that this is not a word to the grandmothers and grandfathers in the church life. Although they're the ones probably who are praying the most, and they're probably actually the reason that we're here right now. But this is also a word to us. I don't want to develop too much. This is a word to us. If we don't respond to this, okay, I'm just going to forget what I prepared for a second. If we don't respond to this, who's going to pray for the ones who are around us? Nobody else knows maybe your circle of friends. Nobody else, maybe who is saved, knows your relatives. Who's going to pray for them? Who prayed for us? I mean, we are here. We got saved. We are here. We love the Lord because someone cooperated with the Lord and prayed for us.
Amen.
Do you know who prayed for you? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I do. But I'm here. And I believe I'm here because someone prayed for me.
Amen.
Someone responded to this word. And we also need to receive this word and respond. But my burden, my point and my burden here on Roman numeral 2 is to share that now that we're burdened, we have an aspiration in the sense we're inspired. Let's read this point too, and I want you to consider what is the key word in this point. We need to persevere in prayer, praying that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. What is the key word in this point? Persevere. Does anybody know a good definition of the word persevere? I actually looked this up and I was impressed because I didn't realize this was the definition of the word persevere. Persevere means to persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. You know, before I looked this up, I just considered persevere just means to keep going, you know, to endure to the end and just to plug away. But I was really impressed, and I think this will be developed more on this point, that to persevere is something that is in spite of. And we'll touch this later. But the first point deals with what our brother shared, the state, enterprise, or undertaking. Our God has an undertaking. He has an enterprise in this universe. His desire is that every man be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. His enterprise in this age is to build up the church as his testimony, to shame the enemy, and to bring an end to this age and to bring in his kingdom. This is a great enterprise, but there is an in spite of. This is not an enterprise that is being carried out in a vacuum or in a neutral realm where we can take our time and work, you know, however much we want to, and whatever we work on, it'll be there whenever we come back. We have to realize that this is not the case. The realm in which we exist is a hostile realm. God has an enemy who is seeking actively to undermine his enterprise. We cooperate with the Lord to build a little something up. You know, we go away, we turn our back just even for 1 second. You know, the enemy comes in and destroys, you know, what we build up. I mean, I think we have a lot of, those of us who have been on the campuses for a little while, I think we have some experience. We preach the gospel, we have some fellowship with this dear person. Maybe he got saved through us. We're enjoying the Lord. We turn our back for 1 second. Someone comes along and all of a sudden, he never wants to talk to us again. Who is this? I mean, is this an accident? Is this oops? There's an active enemy who is seeking to undermine this, our God's great enterprise and undertaking. And so I feel like on this point, after we're inspired and we see a vision concerning God's need for us to cooperate with him, we also really need to be very practical with this and understand the situation in which we are living and seeking to cooperate with our Lord. In Luke chapter 19, the Lord charges us, do business until I come. And we need to take heed to this word. I don't know if any of you are doing any sort of business or are involved in any sort of business, but I think anybody who does business realizes that when you do business, you don't do it according to inspiration. You know, I feel like working a little bit today, so I'll work a little bit today. I feel like, trying to make some sales today, so I'll go out. I feel like thinking about how to diversify or improve my product. I think I'll look for some markets today, but today I don't. This week I don't. This month I don't. And then after that, a year goes by and your business is dead, you know, and then you have no money, you have no food, you're on the streets. Anybody who's running a business does not do this in a light way. And especially in this age, you know, you have all the competitors who are seeking to take your market share. You know, God has a competitor. I mean, he wants the market. He doesn't want to share the market. He wants the market. He wants the stuff that Phil was talking about. He wants his house to be full of all of your friends. Actually, he wants us too. He wants all of us to be in his house, under his possession, and actively used by Him. So if we're gonna do business, if we're gonna join our God's great enterprise, if we're gonna be His co-workers and partners, we need to do business. And maybe we can just begin by reading point A. We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for the prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. And here I would say, I would bring out these phrases, words and phrases, budget. Budget our time. I think we're all conscious that money is a limited commodity, that we need a budget. You spend all your money, you have nothing left. If you want to buy something that costs a lot of money, if you want to do something that requires money, you either need to save up or make some money. You're conscious. You need a budget. But we also need to consider that our time is a limited resource. And some of it we need to devote to God's business. Because if we don't spend our time this way, then God's business will not be done. So we also need to budget our time, even setting aside a time. Even 2 or 3 times a week. I would emphasize this word fill you, schedule. Schedule a time. Because I agree, if you don't schedule a time, a certain day, a certain hour, and I would even say a certain place. Maybe it's on the phone or via Skype, whatever. That's still a place. But I would say a day, a time, a place, and of course, some people, you know, your 2s and 3s. You need to have some definite companions. I mean, if you do not do this, it will not happen. Let's get practical. If you don't do this, it will not happen. I will say this to my shame. I mean, I've been married for 4 years, and for the first 3 years of our married life, my wife and I, we did not have a scheduled time to pray. If there's anybody you spend a lot of time with, okay, none of you are married. Well, very, very few of you are married here, but those of you who are, one day you will know, this is the person you'll spend the most time with. And then if you say, oh, we'll just do it by inspiration. You know, we spend a lot of time together. We'll just pray when we're together. Does it happen? Charles, does it happen? Does that happen in your experience? It doesn't happen. To our shame, up until this year, we did not set a time. You know, so this year we said, okay, Lord's Day night, Thursday night, I think we said roughly, I think it's 9 o'clock. That's our prayer time. And still to our shame, we didn't maintain every time. But we did have a lot more this year than in previous years. We had definite time, a definite place, and of course I had a definite person, you know, to pray with. And then it happened. But I still need to improve. But we need to set this. And I would say this applies both to our personal prayer time as well as our corporate prayer time. And I would say you need to treat this seriously. Treat this like an appointment. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's like. Of course, none of us, you know, go meet the president or whatever. But I would say even with your professor, I don't know, maybe you go visit your professor. You want to talk to him about an important issue for an hour, about your research or about a class or your career. I don't know, whatever. During that time, do you take cell phone calls? Do you check your email in between your professor's discourse while he's telling you about, you know, how to succeed in life? You know, are you checking Facebook and posting, hey guys, I'm talking to my professor right now. You know, my professor just said this. I don't think you do that. I hope you don't do that. Okay, if you're a freshman going to start, I'll tell you, don't do that. When you're talking to someone important and spending a one-on-one time with them, don't do that. You know, don't be checking your email. Don't be texting people. If someone calls you, if it's an emergency, they'll call you 5 times and then maybe you can consider answering. But if someone calls you, they can leave a voicemail. That's why they invented voicemail. I mean, it's there. Set it up. Make sure your voice box is set up. If it's important, they'll leave something for you. This is our time with the King. This is our time to do business. I mean, if you're doing business in the middle of your business meeting, you're not surfing the web or checking Facebook, unless it's related to your business. But treat this time important. Set it aside. Don't be doing anything else. And But I would also say, you know, it doesn't have to be like super long either. You know, have frequent times, you know, with the Lord individually or with your companions. Treat this seriously. I mean, even when you're with your friends, twos and threes, praying, treat this very seriously. And maybe just to give you a little bit of help, maybe you don't have any experience with this. Maybe you don't have any experience praying in twos and threes. We'll be getting into it this week. And we hope many of you get a taste for it, and we'll practice it when you go home. Maybe many of you have some practice, and you can render help to those who are here. But maybe I want to share a little bit, you know, about what do you do when you get together in twos and threes. Okay, here you are. You've scheduled a time. You scheduled the place. You have a definite person. Now what do you do? You know, praise the Lord. This week we've scheduled some times, right? This afternoon we'll schedule some places and we'll figure out who our companions are. But what do we do? I would say firstly, spend some time to get to know one another. You know, this is important. And I would say, get to know one another humanly. You know, even ask, where are you from? You know, what school do you go to? What year are you? You know, what's your family like? Did you grow up in a family of believers? Are your relatives saved? You know? And as you get to know one another humanly, you begin to get a feeling for the burdens that are on each other's heart. And even to get a feeling for their condition and how they are, maybe their needs. You know, it's very difficult to pray for things and people when you yourself are in a damaged condition and you need help. It's difficult. It's difficult. To get to know one another in this way, it's important. Get to know one another in the Lord, even spiritually speaking. You know, when did you get saved? How has your experience with the Lord this year been? Maybe you need to pray for each other's personal time with the Lord, each other's pursuing or growth in life. Spend some time. And I would say, spend the adequate time. Don't spend all your time. But you consider, even in Acts chapter 2, when, you know, what happened? The day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. The church was born. You know, the church age began through this prayer of these 120 saints. You know, it wasn't half an hour of prayer. You know, they spent 10 days together. And I don't know if they were praying 24/7, but they spent a lot of time with one another. And I believe they got to know even each other's spiritual conditions, how each other prayed, what the burdens were, to know each other's spirit, even to know how to play ball with one another, to build on one another's prayer. And eventually, after 10 days, the Spirit was released in such an economical way. So beyond that, I would say, you know, after you get to know one another, spend the time to pray for one another. You know, pray for one another first, even. Care for one another. I was considering this. Why is this so important? You consider, you know, John chapter 15, this excellent chapter on bearing fruit in the vine. Where does the fruit come from? The fruit comes from a healthy vine. If the vine is not taken care of, how can the fruit be born? You need to care for one another. You know, shepherd one another. And on this, I would just say, even practically, sometimes you need to care for one another. I was really touched this year, you know, in Berkeley. There was this one brother who moved into the brother's house. And as the brothers got to know one another, they found out this brother didn't have very much money, you know. All his socks had holes in them, you know. And it seems like a very small thing. But they went out. They bought socks. They cared for him. I think that's right, right? That's what happened. They went out. They bought socks for this brother. I believe he was very cherished. And his heart was open. And he's able to bear the burdens on the brother's heart. You know, instead of being consumed with his own burdens, he was able to open to others. So I would say consider this, you know. Consider. Not just pray, but even practically, care for one another. And then to go beyond that, you know, then after with this foundation, then you're able to start doing some business. I mean, you can't do business with damaged people. If we're hurt, it's very difficult to do, quote unquote, do business, pray for things on the other side of the earth, you know, for God's great enterprise, when I don't even know where my next meal is coming from. You know, I'm wrapped up with my own concerns. We need to care for each other this way, but we shouldn't stop here, because God does have an enterprise. He does need us. And so we go on. We go on to pray for the things that are on each other's hearts. You know, what the Lord has burdened us with in our fellowship with Him. What has the Lord laid on our hearts? And maybe we can read point B here. You know, what are some things that we should be burdened for? Let's read point B. We need to make a list of our acquaintances, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, colleagues, and pray over that name list. And I would say sometimes, of course, God has an economy. He wants to move over the entire face of the earth. And we need to have our eyes open, our heart enlarged for those things. But when the Lord spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they would go out and be His witnesses, where did He start them? He didn't say, okay, go to Mongolia and preach the gospel. He said, start in Jerusalem, then go to Samaria, and then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, I think this is not a small thing. Why are we around the people we're around? This is our Jerusalem, the ones who are closest to us. Our acquaintances, including our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, our schoolmates and colleagues. Like Phil said, who else is going to pray for them? I don't know your friends. I mean, you can ask me to pray for them, but if, you know, I have my own friends to pray for. You know, I have my own burdens. I do, and to take care of you, to cherish you, I'll pray for your friends a couple times, but I'm not going to remember them that much. I don't see them every day. You do. You know, they're your friends. God has put them in your life. You know, they're your Jerusalem. Begin there. Consider. And then you can go out a little bit further. Samaria. The people you don't interact with that much. Maybe even the uttermost parts of the earth. The burden the Lord has for Israel on the other side of the earth. I mean, that's, I think, respect to us. I think that's as far as you get, right? I mean, but we should have a heart open. But we need to begin with our Jerusalem. And like Phil said, we are debtors. We are debtors to them. And we are debtors to the gospel. Read Romans 1, 14 and 15 for some impression of that. Okay, let's read point C. We should write down their names in our record book and continually bring them to the Lord through prayer. A record book will help us know whether or not our prayers are answered, and will help us to be specific and persistent in our prayers. Here, I just want to say, you know, it's not a small thing. When you do business, nobody does business from memory, you know. You know, who are my clients again? I think I have a couple here and a couple there. And I don't remember their phone number. I'm sure I can Google it, you know, whatever. I mean, you keep lists of these things. If you really mean business, if you mean business, you got to keep records. And this will help us to be specific and persistent. And some practical helps, you know, I would say, here is, don't have too many names. I mean, I'll shame myself again. When I was in college, I think I had a list of at least 50 names. You know, I had 50. You know, I had some feeling for each one of those 50. And it's good to pray for them and to be broad. But honestly, how much prayer did each one get? And how much was accomplished with each one? And then even when I considered this list, Lord, 50 names. You know, it was a little bit daunting even to consider. I have to set aside an hour to go through this list and devote 1 minute to each name. Let's be practical to begin with. If the Lord burdens with you with more and more, that's fine. But I would say just be simple. Just two or three. Whoever the Lord lays on your heart. Whoever you want to do business with before the Lord. And really mean business that the Lord would gain these ones. Just a few, not too many. Maybe in your times the Lord would bring up something circumstantial. That's fine. Just pray for it. But then have a few that you really mean business with the Lord before. Write them down. I would say even, you know, write down their name. Then write down something specific. What are you praying for them? Maybe leave, you know, a couple spots, you know. And when you pray these specific prayers, I would say start small. You know, be specific and pray, I would say even baby steps. You know, if your friend is an unbeliever, a hard atheist who hates the Bible, you know, it's good to pray for them to be an overcomer and to, I don't know, go to the full-time training. This is all wonderful. It's good, but he's not even saved yet. You know, how about start, maybe not even with salvation. Maybe just start with, pray that he would be open to hear the word. Pray that even maybe something would cause him to ask you about the Bible. Even a silly question, even maybe a controversial question that could lead you to share something real of your experience of the Lord. Pray first that he would be open. Then pray for an opportunity that you could speak something to him. Pray that he would receive this word. And then pray this would happen again. You know? And then pray for the right word to speak to him. Pray he would receive it. Pray it would happen again. I don't know. Maybe pray this a couple times. Then pray maybe he would be open to read the Bible together. But start small. Be specific. And then, you know, with your group, with your twos and threes, I think it's even good just to fellowship. What should we pray? This is where he is right now. What should we pray? You know, and then maybe your companions, they would see something that you don't see. So leave a couple blanks, you know, maybe a couple lines, you know, pray, you know, and just go one after another. Just what's the next one? What's the next one? What's the next one? Progress them along. And then also record how and when was this prayer answered. And it would really be a shame, you know, if, you know, you were to pray for this person to be saved and he would be saved and saved. And then you ask him 6 months later, yeah, I got saved. You know, I received the Lord 5 months ago, you know. And it's like, well, I won't say it's wasted prayer, but you could have prayed something further for this one and continued building and progressing in what the Lord wants to do in this one. If you had just recorded and remembered, oh yeah, he did get saved 5 months ago. Why are we still praying for this? And I would say even this matter of, I think it would be good even to record, when did you pray for these people? Sometimes, you know, you think, I pray for this guy all the time. You know, if you keep records and you go, okay, I prayed for him on this day, check, this day, check, and I prayed for this thing on that day, check, check, check. You would find out that some people you actually don't pray for that much. And then the ones that you do, these are the ones where the Lord really has a way to operate. I mean, there was this one person. He was a closed Hindu who was a friend of some of our students. No way he was going to get saved. No way. But I looked back later on the prayer journal. He was like one of the few that we prayed for consistently. You look through across that row, check, 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 check for salvation. And you drop down. You started praying for baptism. Check, 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 check. And by the end of the semester, this person with a solid Hindu background, he got saved, he got baptized, and when he came out of the water, his face was so glowing, and he hugged every brother in that room. You never would have thought that would have happened at the beginning of the semester. But this will help you to be persistent. And on this, I would say, if you have time, read Daniel chapter 10, 11 to 13. And you see, Daniel was a man of prayer, but there is an active resistance going on by the evil angelic forces preventing the Lord or resisting the Lord's answer to our prayers. And then last of all, maybe we can just read, let's read point D, 1 and 2, and then I'll end. We must be watchful to fight for a time to pray and to be on guard against Satan's strategies to cut off our prayers. Among God's children, prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked. If we place a high value on our prayer life, we would watch unto it and arrange time for it. No matter how busy, we would still have time to pray. So again, I would just emphasize, I mean, nothing is attacked more than prayer. And I think in our experience, that's when the phone calls, the texts, the emails, that's when your computer breaks down, that's when your software needs updating, that's when the internet shuts down, that's when your printer runs out of paper. You know, that's when when these things happen, is when you say, I'm going to pray this time, that's when all the things break down. All the things that should take 5 seconds, take 15 minutes, and your prayer time is gone. Just do it later. Write it down on a piece of paper on your to-do list, just do it later. Just do it later. And even when you do get together, fight for that time to be useful. You know, don't spend all your time talking. Cherish one another for a certain amount of time, but, you know, don't spend all your time, you know, talking about how you're doing. You know, if you need to, maybe that's fine, but don't let all your times be like that. You know, even in fellowshipping about what to pray, don't spend all your time fellowshipping. Make sure you pray. Fight for your time. You know, fight to get there. Fight to schedule it. Fight to get there. Fight to make it useful. Fight to exercise your spirit. Fight to release your spirit. You know, it's a fight. Prayer is always a fight. So, I hope while we're here at the college training, we'll have some good beginning experiences in our twos and threes. If you haven't already had some experience, and I would say especially when we go home, persevere. I mean, there's opposition to this. You know, to carry this out is not to carry out God's business is not a 1 week operation. This is really something for the rest of our life. How about, let's just read the focus.